This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rays Radio Network.
A 1-2 pitch. He popped him up into left field. It is playable. A Rosarena to his left. And for the fourth consecutive year, the Rays will return to the postseason as they've done every year since 2019.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
Get a deep breath for Jason as he comes set. Now the pitch. Swing and a ground ball to short. Wander has it, goes to the bag out, throws to first, double play! It's a double play! And Jason Adam comes in with a bases loaded, nobody out situation, and keeps it a scoreless game.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball. Here are the voices of the Rays, Andy Fried and Dave Wills.
It is, in fact, time to count down to baseball. The 25th anniversary season of the Tampa Bay Rays officially getting underway on March 30th at home for opening day against the Detroit Tigers. But we've got lots of things to do as we are counting down to that. With Dave Wills and later on with Neil Solons, I'm Andy Fried as we get you set for baseball, Rays style 2023. And Dave, I couldn't be more excited. I know you feel the same way after things ended rather prematurely against the Cleveland Guardians, but I think we're all ready to go. And as we'll be talking about with Kevin Cash and Brian Ald, if this team stays healthy, I think they're going to be good, but there might be 29 other teams to say that too.
Yeah, and we're hoping that, we acquired Zach Eflin. We'll talk to Kevin Cash about that a little bit later on in the show. But we went into the offseason, especially after the way things went offensively in that series against the Guardians, thinking that this team needed to add offense, and then some. And we didn't for whatever reason. I mean, there were some close calls. There were some close trades that did not happen. But at the end of the day, I think, patience is a virtue, and the Rays have really displayed that over the years, and it's paid off more often than not. So they're not only hoping that a lot of their young guys are a year older, but also a year better. And then, as you said, hoping that guys like Brandon Lau and Wander Franco are also going to be a year healthier and give us a full year. Because if we can get full years or close to it out of those two guys, I think your offense almost automatically gets a little bit better.
And a full year from Jason Adam, and hopefully a full year from Pete Fairbanks at the back end of the bullpen. But a lot of what is focused on this team, as always, is pitching. And we may not see as many openers. We may see a 1-5 as good as any starting rotation in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk, it's a healthy Tyler Glasnow, Shane McClanahan coming off an all-star year. Zach Eflin maybe mixed right in that number 3 or 4 spot with Drew Rasmussen, and then Jeffrey Springs doing what he's done these last few years. And then you talk about the depth of, a Josh Fleming, a Luis Patino, or some other guys that might be a AAA. So excited, as always, about pitching. This team is going to be about run prevention as well. And we'll be talking about some of the new rules that are going to be incorporated as well coming into this 2023 season. So we got a lot to talk about here in this show, and we better get going.
We do. One other quick thing before break. This may be as competitive of an American League East as we've seen it. You're in my 19th year together, the 26th year technically season-wise for the Rays. I don't ever remember seeing the AL East better top to bottom as it is right now.
It got a lot better last year with the Orioles getting better, and I don't see the Orioles going anywhere. And I think the Red Sox are going to be better than a lot of people think.
All right. With Dave Wills, I'm Andy Fried. We are counting down to opening day for the Rays as they begin their 25th anniversary season. Later, we'll be joined by Rays team president Brian Ald to talk a lot about off-the-field stuff. But in just a moment, we'll be joined by Rays manager Kevin Cash, and we'll talk about the 2023 Rays right after this on Countdown to Opening Day on Rays Radio.
Welcome back to the Rays Radio Countdown to Opening Day show. Along with Andy Fried, I am Dave Wills. We are joined now by Rays manager Kevin Cash. Just a reminder, though, that single-game tickets for Rays spring training presented by Visit Tampa Bay are on sale now. To see the whole schedule and to purchase tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com/spring. And as I said, the skipper of the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that has gone to the postseason 4 straight times now, a franchise record, joining us right now, Kevin Cash. from Orlando, where we're getting spring training started. And Kevin, before we dive into how things are going and how things have had to be kind of shaken up a little bit because of Hurricane Ian and everything else that went on a few months ago, a quick reflection on 2022. You know, I've been reading more and more about the Rays looking back at 2022, and I don't know if it's the right verbiage, is disappointment. I mean, the team won 86 games. The team went to the postseason for the fourth straight time. The team dealt with some adversity that, again, a lot of other teams haven't had to deal with as far as injuries to their star players, to the core players, and down the line, and yet still won 86 games. What's your reflection of the way 2022 went?
Yeah, it's tough for me to wrap my head around disappointment when you get to the postseason. We know how challenging it is in our division, and certainly the American League in general. So I applaud the guys, proud of the way we competed. There was no doubt we had adversity. A lot of teams go through that, or every team goes through that. But you look at some of our youth, the experiences that we got, and we were learning on the fly, and somehow we got in there. So happy with that and looking to build off that moving forward.
Those two games with Cleveland, to me, almost set a template of clarity of what this team needs to do. Pitching-wise, everything looks very, very good right now. Offensively, seems to be something that needs to be improved. Is that the way you see it as well?
Yeah. I mean, look, we need some better fortune with health. And right now we're healthy, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, it was no surprise, no secret that our offense didn't perform maybe to the as a unit to the capabilities that we were hoping for. I do think that maybe that was the final stat line was an exaggeration of us. Like to think that we'll be that much better with one more year seasoned of some young players.
All right. Well, with that being said, you know, there's that old saying, are they going to be a year older or a year better? And I know that one of the things that we talk a lot about this franchise is patience. I mean, you know, we always say how the fans have this level, Andy and Dave have this level, and then you get above and beyond, and the front office and yourself have had to show some tremendous patience, and more often than not, it's paid off. And I think that as you look ahead here to 2023, there is some room for improvement, but there are guys, and I think that we all believe can achieve that with guys like Josh Lowe, Vidal Brujan, Taylor Walls. I mean, down the line, and then even, like you said, injury-free seasons for a guy like Wander Franco or Brandon Lau, and almost right then and there, your offense improves by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it. I think it was a bit strange, and at times throughout the season, head-scratching that we had so many young players that just didn't have the good fortune of coming up and having success at the plate. You'd like to see that trend in a better direction. And if we get Wander back and B. Lau back, those are huge offensive additions to us. One guy hits the ball out of the ballpark for a living, and one guy sprays it all over the field for a living. That can really lengthen out a lineup.
You were saying, I was reading the articles in your initial press conference, that B. Lau has had no setbacks, knocking on wood whatsoever with his back. We know that can be a really tough situation for a hitter. And in terms of Wander, you keep using the word flexibility. He's more flexible than he was before. Is that what the goals were for both of those guys heading in, to try to prevent an injury?
I think so. I mean, B. Lau had more rehab in the early part of his offseason of making sure that he was strengthening his core muscles and certainly the back muscles. And he has. From January on, he's been full go, which is outstanding to hear. And Wander, I do think he took initiative of saying, like, I want to do everything I can to lean out and put as less pressure on my muscles. I mean, the leg issues were no surprise. They came up and it hindered his performance. He tried to play through them, but I think he took the offseason saying, I am going to work on my flexibility and try to avoid, you know, some of those strains that he witnessed with his groin and hamstring.
With Andy Fried, I am Dave Wills. You are listening to our Countdown to Opening Day show. We're with manager, Rays manager, I should say, Kevin Cash, as we continue chatting with him for a little while. And, you know, the other thing I try to remind some fans, too, is that, you know, we went into this offseason, people were saying we needed a bat. We didn't go out and get a bat. We got Zach Eflin. We'll talk more about him in just a little bit. But this is still, outside of a couple of guys who have moved on, obviously pretty important guys, Mike Zunino, Kevin Kiermaier, you know, Nelson Cruz was with us for the last few months of the 2021 season where the team won 100 games. But the core, a lot of the young guys that were part of a 100-win season are back and are with this team. So there's continuity. There's some guys who know what it takes to win 100 games. So maybe you didn't have to tweak and do a lot of things. And I think, again, the patience hopefully will pay off.
Yeah, look, I hope that our thought and mindset is to use that to our advantage. We've got a core group of players here that we are really excited about. We want to see them continue to grow together. And there's no doubt the familiarity of each other, that can only help. The year of experience that they got, that's going to help. So you're right. Zunino, certainly Kevin Kiermaier, wish both of them well. They are great people, great players, and meant a lot to our organization. But now, you know, it's time for somebody else to get some of those opportunities, and good for them. I think we've got the right young players that can take advantage of it.
I think since we're talking about offense and run production, two of the rule changes are specifically geared to getting a little more offense. The shifting that the Rays have become famous for in the league kind of has all caught up with. You'll be seeing a lot less of that, if not none of that. And the bases being bigger might trigger some more speed and action on the bases. Is that how you view those things? That offense, I'm not going to say would be easier to come by, but it might be a little bit more of an action style game.
I think that's a thought process, and MLB applaud them. They listen to their fans or our fans, and that's what they wanted to see. So they're trying to make adjustments to the game. I like the fact that a lot of these rule changes on the offensive side, it's about athleticism. We're lucky that we have a very athletic group. We got a lot of team speed. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out in this month of March. I'm glad that we have this opportunity to learn a lot about it.
And it's kind of interesting because they're trying to incorporate these new rules during this month of March, while you're also sending a handful of players off to play in the WBC, which will not have the new rules, from what I understand. So, you know, that makes things even maybe a little more complicated, which then I think leads to my question to you, Kevin, is that, boy, how nice was it to have a normal kind of quote-unquote normal offseason where you could communicate with the guys a little more often? I know last year, once December 1st came, you weren't able to talk to the guys, and I think that led to some of the things that maybe kind of, injuries, maybe a couple other things that carried over to the 2022 season. But being able to keep track of these guys, I know that, you know, not only verbally on the phone and texting, but you went face-to-face with a few of the guys as well. I think that's going to go a long way with this team as we approach the 2023 season as well.
Yeah, and look, there's no doubt. It was much more normal offseason until you just reminded me of the 2021 season. I really had forgotten how awkward that was. But you always want to have the availability to pick up the phone and call somebody or shoot a text to somebody to check in. It was a good offseason for a lot of our players. You know, you try to give them their space, let them get through the holidays, and then ramp it up after, you know, the first of the year. And our staff did a really good job of reaching out. Kyle Snyder is the best in the business at going and visiting pitchers. I mean, today's pitchers in our game, they come into spring training having already thrown a handful of bullpens. And fortunately for us, Kyle's got to see a lot of them. So, again, another thing that should help us out heading into this 23 season.
Kevin, how much of this spring training is about instruction in some ways for you? You've got three new coaches. You've got new rules for pitchers and batters. Batters to stay in the box, pitchers to deliver pitch within about 12 to 15 seconds. Different rules with regard to throwing over to bases. That's all new. And even just some other things that perhaps became an issue last year. Base running issues for the Rays last year at times were important. Defense. Is this a spring training of instruction for you and to get everybody wanted to kind of have the same message?
Yeah, Matt, yes, I think that's a good point. Like, it was probably, you know, on the flip side of that, I feel like a lot of our roster, we know if we're healthy who we're breaking with, and that helps. So it does allow some time to the attention to detail on the rules. Certainly want to help these coaches that are new, first-year coaches, get up to speed and as comfortable as possible. And also the three first-year coaches from the year before. There's a lot of communication that'll take place. We're all going to learn about the rules. I'm glad that we have a guy like Brady Williams that has managed in AAA and then has experienced these rules for me to be able to lean on and pick his brain as different things come up throughout our games.
How much of an adjustment is it going to be for you to get the signs out or to try and, you know, again, there's 15 seconds between pitches. There's 20 seconds between pitches. There's only so many throws over the first base. What kind of adjustment do you think you need to make? And has Brady been a nice sounding board for something like that too?
Yeah, he has. And, you know, generally in AAA, the manager is the guy coaching third base over there. So he just puts a sign on and time doesn't really matter that much. Sure. So it will be unique this year with finding the right tempo and make sure that you're ultimately making the best decision you can at the time. So having Brady, trust him implicitly with what he's going to do at third base, how he's going to assist Rodney with our infielders. But my communication and decision-making, Kyle and I in the dugout, it's got to be tweaked a little bit. We'll learn more once these games get underway.
Kevin, when are you going to be without the guys that are going to the WBC? When do they leave? When do they come back? And then what opportunities does that open up for other guys while the more established big leaguers aren't there?
Yeah, we're going to have a group that leaves on March 2nd, I believe, because they're flying out to Japan, I think, or Korea, one of the two spots. And then we're going to have a group that leaves between the 6th and the 8th, heading to Fort Myers to start their play there, and then obviously land in Miami where the tournament starts. It is going to present opportunities for guys to get some reps that maybe they wouldn't get that deep into spring. Saying that, we've got some guys going that we want to see. So we'll try to balance it. We'll do right by them by getting them ramped up to where they are as timed up at the plate as possible to go compete for the country. I'm excited personally to watch that. Obviously, our bench coach, Rodney Linares, is managing for the Dominican team. It's good for baseball, and the banter has already started amongst our clubhouse.
We continue our conversation with Rays manager Kevin Cash. I'm Dave Wills, along with Andy Freed, as we are bringing you our countdown to opening day show here on the Rays Baseball Network. And, you know, I did a thing with Peter Bendix about a week ago. And, you know, again, a lot of people are talking about what the Rays didn't go out and get as far as offense for the upcoming season. But Peter said to me, and he said to the crowd, he said, you know what, he's been here since 2009. He's looking at this team. He saw a team that went to the World Series in 08 from the outside, went to the World Series in 2020. He seems to think that from 1 to 40, this might be the thickest Rays team he's been a part of. Now, obviously, our pitching has a lot of thickness. But as I started to see, again, from the depth that we're trying to acquire and bringing onto this team, do you feel that same way, that 1 to 40, this might be about as thick of a baseball team that the Rays have had?
Yep, I hope so. You know, I think Pete would know better than me. I think this is a chance to be a very talented team. We've learned over the last 5, 6, 7 years how important our depth is, and really commend those guys that go out and work so hard in the offseason to bring players that they might not help us opening day, but you know you're going to have to lean on them throughout the course of the season, and the impact that they have on winning that one game could mean a lot to us.
You know, Zach Eflin being brought in is a guy that's worked in a bunch of different roles over the years. What role do you see him in mostly, and might it change as the season moves its course?
Yeah, I think we're pretty cemented. Hand him the ball every fifth day. Let him start. You know, he had an injury last year. He played on a World Series team with the Phillies. Came back, worked really hard just to do anything he could to help. He goes into the back end of the bullpen, closed out some games. He reduced his pitch mix a little bit. All that's going to go back to the starting role where all the weapons that he has are going to be of use. And we'll just gauge the workload kind of month by month. But we are so excited to have Zach join what we consider a pretty talented starting staff. It just makes us that much thicker.
And I think, as you said yesterday in the meeting with the media, we're not asking Zach Eflin to go out there and be the new number one or the lead guy or anything. Just kind of, merge in the traffic, be part of this rotation, do what you're capable of doing, nothing more, nothing less. Because when you look at that rotation, you've got Shane McClanahan, who started the All-Star game last year and was one of the best pitchers in the American League. Drew Rasmussen almost threw a perfect game during one of his starts in 2022. Jeffrey Springs did what he did, and it worked to be able to pick up a multi-year contract. Oh, and by the way, a healthy Tyler Glasnow is pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, I like your word, merge. If he can merge into that group and not stick out, man, we are really fortunate to have those five guys. It's a super talented bunch. Kyle and I are going to work really hard to make sure that they get the right build up here in spring. even build up a little bit into that first month that we've got them for the season. That we've got a lot riding on keeping them available every 5 days to us.
Rays have gotten famous in some ways for using an opener, but fewer openers. Do you think this year that starting five seems to be somewhat static?
Yeah, I do think there'll be a little more far and few between the openers. I think we could see someone. We're trying to pick an extra day up for, you know, the entire time through the rotation. But if things go to plan, we won't see that many openers. We're going to really lean heavily on our starters.
What about the bullpen, Kevin? I mean, Jason Adam burst almost for us anyway, came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, we're watching spring training last year and we're thinking, Jason Adam, kind of intriguing. Hopefully he's the 26th or 27th man, makes the team out of spring training. And then not only did he make the team, he just put together one of the more incredible years out of the bullpen that you'll ever see. And every time he took the ball, he just got big out after big out. And that spot in game two of the wild card, I mean, my heart's starting to beat again with him coming in with the bases loaded and nobody out and getting out of that situation. A healthy Pete Fairbanks, a couple other guys that are hopefully healthy. Colin Poche is a guy that you know, we lost toward the end of last season. Is the bullpen depth where you like it, you know, right now, or is that something that is going to grow as maybe the spring and the season goes along?
Look, I feel really good about our bullpen, and I agree with what you thought about Jason Adam last year. I was right there in line with it, and he went out and just dominated. Had as good a season as any relief pitcher in baseball. Maybe we got another guy in this camp like that we'll find out. That's where our guys are really good. The messaging from Kyle helps a lot of them. But, yes, the guys that we can probably all assume and pencil in, you got to feel good about, you know, a lot of neutral that can get right-handed hitters, can get left-handed hitters. And they've experienced a lot of high leverage. We play in a lot of tight ball games. We play in some great atmospheres. Those experience help our, you know, a very tight-knit group only get better.
You know, this time last year, the Rays had like four guys coming off Tommy John. A bunch of them made it back and became, you know, obviously very important members of the team between Poche and numerous others. But because of that, there were some – and Jalen Beeks is another one that comes to mind. There were some pretty strict limits on innings and pitches last year. Are there less guys limited this year coming in? I know Kittredge might be back at some point and a couple other guys. Are there fewer limits coming into this year for bullpen guys?
Yeah, you know, we haven't talked about that. We're going to try to do everything we can to be mindful. We know we're a better team when we do everything we can to keep them healthy. And I'm sure over this next 6 weeks leading into opening day, we'll have a better understanding of how the appropriate buildup, where that kind of that sweet spot is for them as far as their workload. That's where you trust Kyle and Jorge Moncada, our new bullpen coach, to really build those relationships and can have those conversations right now when it's a little bit more of a relaxed setting.
Down to the last couple minutes with Rays manager Kevin Cash and our countdown to opening day show. And always kind of intrigued when we get to spring training in a new season is to see maybe some new faces. Curtis Mead, a guy that we've been hearing a lot about over the last couple of years. Taj Bradley, another guy that maybe one of the best young pitching prospects, not within the Rays, but within all of Major League Baseball. And then, again, maybe seeing some of the young guys, like you said, that may have stumbled, or like I said, may have stumbled a little bit out of the gate last year. Let's see how Josh Lowe is maybe a year older, a year stronger, a year more prepared for the big leagues. And guys like, you know, again, Vidal Brujan and Taylor Walls. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, a guy that I know you and I have had a lot of chats about over the last couple of years, Luis Patino, a guy that we think when he's on his stuff, maybe could be one of the more electric pitchers in the game. All these guys are intriguing young players that could really take this team again to the next level if they perform up to their capabilities.
Yeah, you're right. And it just speaks volumes about how talented our farm system is, how talented our player development coaches and staff are, that year after year, there's reason to be excited because we've got just such an athletic group of position players, a group of pitchers that, you know, have learned to have success at the minor leagues, and we see how that transitions in the big leagues. The guys that you're mentioning, I'm just as excited as our fans are to get to see them, you know, firsthand in some of these games, and you never know how it shakes out. We might see him opening day. We might see him in the middle of the season, but hopefully they all understand if they've watched us the last couple of years, we rely on our depth, and there will be opportunities for some of those guys that you mentioned to really contribute to our club.
And here is spring training is born. You're up at Disney for a couple of weeks, but then back to Tropicana Field. I'm curious because we've always been, you know, outside in Port Charlotte with all the fields together, everybody together. Things will separate a little bit, I guess, once you go back to Tropicana Field, but it probably gives you a controlled environment a little bit as well and gets the guys used to the turf and the field they're going to be playing on. So what will that change be like, and what might be an advantage or two of playing spring training at Tropicana Field?
Well, more reps for our young guys that haven't had the experience of the dome. And like you said, the turf, I think that's only going to help us. Dan Moeller, our head groundskeeper, and the staff from Port Charlotte have spent a lot of time at a local ballpark where they've made it really nice where we can get over there and get outside, take ground balls, take BP, run some live BPs. So we'll mix between that ballpark and Tropicana. And it's an extra month in our own beds. I don't think too many people are going to complain about that.
No, and again, a lot, the people behind the scenes, like you said, Dan Moeller and a lot of the other guys have done a lot of heavy lifting here over the last several months to go from not being able to have spring training because of Hurricane Ian in Port Charlotte to set things up in Disney for a few weeks, to set things up at Tropicana Field, then to finish it out, and then to try to make all those transitions for yourself, for your staff, for these players as seamless as possible. And that's sometimes not really easy to do. And I think I know you probably have said it, just said it. You got to tip your cap to a lot of the work that went on behind the scenes to get to this point.
No doubt about it. So appreciative of, you know, we just got a lot of good people in this organization. Dan Moeller, Mitch Lukovics, Tyler Wall, our entire ATC trap staff, what they have done to get this up and running. So appreciative of Disney, and obviously our thoughts are still with the community in Port Charlotte, but we have lucked out in a lot of hard work by many, many people.
And I'll wrap it up for me by saying, what excites you most about the group as they've gathered together here for spring training?
You know what? I think that most excites me as we sit right now is maybe the headline of you know, the offense. It's out there. Let's see what these guys, you know, kind of want to do about it. We've got the pieces to have a very productive offense. And so I'll see the motivation from that. Certainly watching, you know, Zach Eflin, a guy that we don't know well, that we think super talented, come in and join our rotation is another thing.
Well, I think it was Jason Adam who said, let's start at Disney and end at Disney. And I like that quote. I don't know if that's going to end up on a wall at Tropicana Field somewhere, or maybe inside the ballpark down there in Orlando. But I like that idea. And we are starting at Disney and would love to end at Disney. And Kevin, we really appreciate your time. As always, we look forward to chatting with you. And this was great. It's great talking baseball with you. And we'll see you sometime next week, beginning actually on the 25th when the Rays take on the Twins in Fort Myers. But thanks for taking the time right now. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Kevin Cash joining us here. And again, the Rays 2023 single game tickets are on sale now as you can witness your Rays match up against the Dodgers, Yankees, Braves, and more. Tickets start at just $10. Purchase at RaysBaseball.com. The 2023 season is presented by Bayfront Health. Again, thanks to Kevin Cash for joining us. Andy and I will be back with more of our Countdown to Opening Day show right after this on the Rays Radio Network.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We are a mere 10 or so days away from the Rays beginning their spring training games, and we are a little over a month or so away from opening day of 2023. The Rays and the Detroit Tigers at Tropicana Field in this 25th anniversary season for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is our Countdown to Opening Day radio show with Dave Wills. I'm Andy Fried, and we are now joined by Team President Brian Ald. And Brian, it's been an interesting offseason for you, certainly interesting for many of us involved with the Rays have thought of it almost like it's been a season unto itself. Low points, high points, but ultimately here we are and ready to go for technically year number 26 in terms of seasons, but the 25th anniversary season. It's going to be a special year, I think.
Yeah, what an incredible opportunity. 25 years really makes us a baby by Major League Baseball standards. But we are coming into our own. There's so much to celebrate and a lot going on.
Well, there was a lot going on last weekend with the Super Bowl and that being over, and now the beginning of baseball season with pitchers and catchers reporting just a couple of days ago and getting their first workouts in Orlando. And then you have been kind of spearheading the Rays stadium efforts here in St. Petersburg and also been chatting a little bit with the folks over in Tampa. But, you know, I kind of found it interesting in watching what turned out to be, what, about a 5.5-hour pregame show for a football game. And it's almost like we just wrapped up our pregame show as far as the stadium is concerned. It seems like you were able to dot a lot of I's, cross a lot of T's, and that was just to get us maybe to the first inning. I mean, how are you – what's your thoughts on where we're at right now with the ballpark efforts in Tampa Bay to keep baseball here for many, many years to come?
Yeah, you're not the only one searching for the right metaphor. I don't know if it's crossing T's. I don't know if football's right. I don't know if the yard lines or the innings or where we are. But the good news is it is clear that on both sides of the Bay, everyone wants to make sure the Rays stay here for a very long time. And we took a big step in St. Pete just to confirm that. We put together a really incredible vision for the historic gas plant district, honoring the history of the site, the African-American community, so many of our forebears along the way as part of that vision. And it gives us a real path forward to see a new ballpark built on the Trop site. But a whole bunch needs to happen, as has always been the case. We've got to come up with a financing plan. We've got to formalize all the details. We've got to agree on all that with our partners at the city and county. And so there remains a long way to go. At least there's a pathway now, though. We can see it. We've got a, you know, I would say roughly a year to get it all hammered out, and everybody's working towards it. And that's the thing that I find certainly very heartening.
Do you get a sense that there's some more momentum now than maybe there hadn't been in some of the other projects that have, I mean, we can go back to 2007 and 8 when there had been thoughts of perhaps having a ballpark at the Al Lang site or the Ybor City situation several years back. This seems like, though, this is momentum that has traction. Do you get that sense from behind the scenes?
I do, but I've been Charlie Brown with a football a few times, so I am not going to count my chickens before they hatch. We're going to pay attention and make sure that we give every single step of the process all the attention it deserves. We're not going to assume anything. And of course, that's why we're continuing to keep conversations open on both sides of the Bay. We've got to, you know, go after every single option available to us until we've got something set in stone that's concrete, a shovel in the ground, so to speak, so that we know this team's going to be here for a very long time. I talk about, you know, whenever I can, the fact that we haven't spent the last 18 years, you know, the organization has now been here 25, building this fan base into something really special, building this organization into one that we're all so proud of. We got to make sure it stays in Tampa Bay, where our fans are, where our employees are, where everybody who cares about this team is.
And, you know, again, what we're talking about possibly on the Tropicana Field site would be just such a unique situation. I mean, we're talking about, you know, housing, about hotels, about museums, about really being a partnership within the community, more than just plopping down a brand new ballpark with another 8, you know, or 12 parking lots surrounding it. This is going to be kind of meshed in, according to what we've been able to see from the Heinz plans and some of the other things that we've been doing here behind the scenes. I mean, this is really kind of a maybe almost close to a one-of-a-kind situation with the partnership between the Rays, Heinz, the city of St. Pete, the county of Pinellas, and everything that's going to come in hand, and the people that live there and the people that still live here now.
Yes, sometimes you can make a couple mistakes and turn them into an opportunity. That's a lot of the way we view this organization. It's how we try to play the game of baseball. And in retrospect, building the Trop in the middle of a sea of parking proved to be a kind of outdated model. And we've seen what can happen when you have a really, truly urban ballpark that's integrated into the neighborhoods surrounding it. And that's what we have the opportunity to build here. But we've got a, you know, nearly 100-acre canvas to use as our, you know, to use in a way that is truly unique. You're not going to find that size parcel in the middle of any downtowns of cities, you know, especially St. Petersburg anymore. So we've taken that opportunity. Our developers, our planners, everyone around it sees what it could really become. I think the city's gotten really excited about what it can become. And we take the responsibility of informing how that all comes together really seriously. And it's also going to be a really inclusive process. We know we've got to listen to a whole lot of people to get it right. We put our first foray out there. This is what we think it could be, but it's going to change a lot. And it's going to be, you know, a 20-year process before all is said and done. Before I leave this matter entirely, I do just want to remind everyone that we will have twice as many parking spots as we do now when all is said and done. So while there's going to be a lot of density, there's going to be a ton to do. We know that people are still using their cars and they're going to need places to park.
You just read my mind, because that's the number one question that we always get, especially when you start to see buildings and different things on those parking lots or said parking lots that are there now. People start wondering, well, then where am I going to park? Where are we going to go? And I think the numbers, like you said, show that there's going to be a few more spaces than what there are even now, but with a lot more things to do once you park said car and make your way toward the ballpark.
Yeah, and the lots are going to be spread out, which is actually a lot more convenient and a lot faster. If you think about it, you kind of want people to all park in different areas and head out from there. If you walk the last 5 minutes to the ballpark, it's a much more efficient process, and it creates a lot better community. So we got to get all that right. We've had some great models to follow throughout Major League Baseball. You know, Major League ballparks are just special places, and because we play so many games, they drive development in a way that nothing else can. You know, we're going to have over 1 million people coming 81 times a year. That's not something that any other activity produces.
And Brian, the tough question that I know you have been asked many times and will continue, I'm sure, to be asked, is the one that I hear all the time. If a new Rays ballpark is in a similar, if not almost same location, why should people expect a difference in terms of attendance? Because we know that's been a major issue for this franchise. Why would it be different moving forward in a similar location compared to what it's been?
Well, I think you just have to look at the growth of the area as a whole. Wherever we go, we're going to be more confident than we would have been 10 years ago and certainly 20 years ago. And then you got to believe in the organization. You know, we are building our fan base. COVID's been tough. Florida's been hit particularly hard. You know, it's no secret that we have affordability issues here that are worse in Florida than anywhere else in the country. And that's going to hurt a business like ours, but we're going to get through to the other side. We're going to be a part of getting through to the other side. And let's not underestimate how important a new facility and the certainty that this organization is going to be here for a very long time may be to folks looking to buy season tickets and make those long-term commitments. All of it's pointing in the right direction. We know it's all going to move upwards. And if there's one thing I think our staff has proven over the years, it's that if you give us something that we can work with, we're not going to let it go to waste. So if we can get those few thousand more season ticket holders in the building, we're going to find out a way to keep them, make that experience really special for them. And it's happening while St. Petersburg really grows into a true jewel of Florida too. So all of what I just said is really true on either side of the bay. We are far more optimistic about attendance projections 10 years out than we might've been a few years ago. But there are some short-term economic challenges we have to see our way through as well.
Rays team president Brian Ault joining us here as we count it down to opening day. As Andy said, for our first spring broadcast, less than 10 days away, and March 30th is opening day. And when you know, again, we've been focusing so much on the possibilities of a new park and what that could bring to St. Petersburg, to Tampa Bay, whatever the thinking case may be. But again, I think the Trop takes so many unwarranted hits. Yes, it may not be some of those beauties that are around baseball that have been built in the last 15 to 20 years, but again, it's clean, it's comfortable, it's easy to get to. It's 72 degrees and dry every day. You know you're going to play. And while we are exploring options down the road as far as a new ballpark is concerned, Stu Sternberg and company are still putting some money into this particular ballpark, including as we get ready for the 2023 season, a shiny new video board that has been spruced up. So we're not ignoring this ballpark while we're looking for new places.
No, it's a great ballpark. And look, that's all part of the organization's success. Players want to be Tampa Bay Rays now. When I got here and we were the Devil Rays, that was not the case. And it's the same thing, by the way, with the region. Young people want to move here, raise their families, and start their careers. That also wasn't happening, right? You build something really special, but to capitalize on it, you've got to show the players that you're investing, right? We've had to put work into the clubhouse. We've had to make sure we've got the best trainers on the planet. We got to make sure we're turning ball players into the best they could possibly be by maximizing their talents and putting them in the situation to be successful. But they also look around and want to be sure that the organization is treating its facility like a major league ball club should. And that's exactly what we do. Trop's a great place to watch a game. Anybody who comes here will tell you that. The new scoreboard is going to be really exciting. And we've got better people programming that board than I think they do anywhere else in baseball. So you'll see exciting, fun stuff coming out of that too. The food options continue to improve. You know, we never stop with it, but I think you hit the nail on the head. What we've got is Major League Baseball. We got a clean, safe environment that's easy to get to. Come on out, enjoy it. And the more folks that come, the more confident all of us are going to be in making that investment about the next 30, 50, and 100 years of Rays baseball.
Brian, can you take us behind the scenes on the thought process of $10 tickets? I mean, in today's day and age, that is as much of a steal as you could probably get for your entertainment dollar. Can you take us behind the scenes on what led to that and what the expectations are with that? And again, I didn't misspeak, $10 tickets to every Rays game this year.
Yeah, affordability has always been very important to us. The whole industry has been fighting a tough game against ticket resellers. And what you really want to avoid is putting a bunch of $10 tickets on sale, having a broker buy them and sell them all for $50. And we've needed to advance the technology, improve some of our, you know, ticket lists and cash lists, and ballpark app utilization is what's allowing us to put these more affordable tickets out there and make sure that they're going to our fans and not just generating profits for resellers. That's been a really key part of it. And that's informed a lot of how we've had to price our tickets over the years. You'll notice, like, throughout baseball, sellout streaks are becoming a far less common thing. And part of that is because, to really maximize attendance, sometimes what you got to do is sell tickets at slightly below the market clearing price. And when you've got other actors that are going in there, scooping up all those tickets and then, you know, making a profit on top of that, it presents a challenge for having tickets as affordable as you want them to be. Again, this is not new. U2 has been dealing with this. Taylor Swift's dealing with this. You know, it's something that the whole entertainment ticketing industry is having to deal with, but we're really proud that we were able to put some technology behind this, make sure that those $10 tickets go to our fans who are going to be sitting in those seats. And we just want people out here. It's always been the case. The constant challenge that the Rays have is that we do need every single dollar that we can generate to try to compete on the field. And so we can't really avoid trying to maximize revenues, because those revenues would translate to the ever-increasing payroll and give us that chance to, you know, go up head to head against teams that are signing players to deals that are more than our entire payroll, right? It's not getting any easier. Yankees aren't going away. Blue Jays now, Orioles are coming on. And so we've got, I think, the hardest division in sports to compete within. And we've always got to make sure that we protect that revenue side while also making sure we also hang on to the fact that affordability is really a core value of ours too.
You know, as we also come into the season, as Andy said, it's our 25th anniversary season. We've got a lot of things going on. I know there was a big announcement earlier in the day from our communication staff about some of the things that we're going to be celebrating here during this 25th anniversary season, including a trio going in to the newly created Rays Hall of Fame with Wade Boggs, who, again, was one of the biggest names. They'll put this team on the map back in the late 1990s. And then Don Zimmer, who was, again, just such a special part of this organization for many, many years. And then maybe the first real superstar on this team, Carl Crawford. So that trio is going into a Hall of Fame, and that's just a little scratch as to what we're really going to be doing in celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Tampa Bay Rays and Devil Rays. I know, you know, we all started in 2005, and when we got to the Rays in 2008, I think we all wanted to push the Devil Rays brand as far away as possible. But now, lately, we've been really kind of trying to embrace it, and I think the fans – have really taken to embracing it too. I see all kinds of Devil Rays brands out there and about in the Tampa Bay area. And we're going to be wearing the Devil Rays uniforms. I think I saw 14 times. It's really going to be a fun-filled season for the fans who were there from the beginning and the fans who have been joining us here lately.
There is no question. We've had so many great players come through. I mean, Boggs, Zimmer, and Crawford are just three people that all three of us could probably tell 35 stories about on our own. Not only were they incredible baseball guys, but just storytellers, human beings, and chuckles come to my mind just thinking about each of them. It's going to be absolutely wonderful to honor all of them. We're also going to, pay tribute to a lot of just the incredible moments that have happened over the last 25 years. I always think about the pandemic season in 2020, and that if for you to get either the Brasso or the Brett Phillips moment, with Randy or Rosarita falling down, rounding third, in a season is in a 10-year period is a baseball experience that you should just feel incredible about. And we got two of them in 1 year. Of course, there's game 162. There's that 08, all the craziness that happened along the way there when we're going from worst to first. The number of moments have been nothing short of, geez, Dan Johnson has like five moments that, some teams don't have in a decade. All of that, celebrating it all, a lot of the weirdness of what Rays baseball is, a lot of the forward thinking, a lot of the urge to try new stuff and the players buy into it all is all something we really want to celebrate. I'm really pumped for it because I think we don't give our fans enough to puff their chests up about as we might. And there's sure been a lot. I mean, we have won a lot of baseball games and had a lot of great talent come through this organization over that 25-year period.
I'm in line with what Dave was saying. I'm curious, did it catch the organization off guard about how much the nostalgia of the early days of the franchise has created some traction? Those were not great days on the field. It was before, predates us. But from an outsider looking in, mm-hmm. It was not a particularly successful franchise for the first, 7, 8, 9 years or so. And yet I think the early uniforms have caught on way more than I expected them to. And I'm curious if behind the scenes, if those in the front office have been surprised, how much that the nostalgia and the early days of the franchise really has kind of caught on with the modern day fan of the Rays.
Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, I'm at least a little surprised. I mean, it wasn't like we were the ones, right, who thought those early uniforms were maybe not the best. That was, they were the subject of late night fodder. There were a lot of people that thought they were absolutely absurd. I will say, I think that our uniform folks and our creative team has kind of taken that uniform, made some really subtle tweaks to it that make mm-hmm. it so much better. But you see people rocking the old stuff unchanged too. And I think some of that is too, not to harp on this again, but like Tampa Bay has come into its own in the last 25 years also. And there's a lot of like pride about I was around then and this is my hometown now. There's a identity, and so much of it is sports-based, this Tampa Bay thing that, at least for me personally, 10 years ago, I remember thinking, like, looking around, like, who are we? What do we stand for? You could speak to kind of a personality of a New York or a Boston or a Philadelphia. Now I feel like you can really talk to a Tampa Bay persona too. And some of those nostalgic uniforms really speak to it. You see it with the creamsicle uniforms of the Buccaneers too, another franchise that didn't exactly crush it back when they were wearing those uniforms. So I think there's some part of like, yeah, we're nobody's, I don't know what the term would be. Nobody's pushing us around anymore. Yep. And we can wear these things with a newfound source of pride as opposed to just being the butt of a lot of jokes.
We're not the homecoming opponent anymore. No, we're the the team that you don't want to face.
We are right no now. Longer, the Washington Generals going up against the Globetrotters, right?
We got to wrap it up here in a second. And here we are just a couple of days away. We haven't even touched on FanFest yet, but we're bringing that back after a couple year hiatus. And that'll be this Saturday at Tropicana Field.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be lots of old school race stuff that you can get $5 as a donation to the foundation. So you're supporting a great cause and walking away with some really cool stuff. Lots of things going on the main stage. All the mascots are going to be there. The players are excited to be back. You'll be in our spring training facility this year, right? So there's a whole bunch of new and exciting opportunities to experience things that we had before pre-pandemic and that we're definitely bringing back. And you show up at FanFest, you're going to find out you guys, I'm guessing, will be there. You just get to see how accessible the entire organization is. Stu's probably walking around mingling with people. You'll see our broadcasters, our players. And one of the really special things about having a Major League Baseball team in a market our size is that it can be really personal to all our fans. And FanFest is a great way to experience that.
So it is, Brian, FanFest, as you know, coming up. What do you want fans to know in terms of how to be involved with it? We know it's a free event. What can you tell us?
First of all, it's free parking, free ticket, though you do have to register through the ballpark app. Make sure you do that. You'll get a chance, I believe, to see some of the 25th anniversary stuff unveiled, understand what's going on with the Hall of Famers among that. Season ticket holders and any fans can sign up for the autograph opportunity. I think it's cheaper if you're a season ticket member than not, but we'll have a bunch of guys signing there. And then so many of our corporate partners and community partners will be around just kind of speaking to what they do in the area too. It's really just a fun day. Great way to get excited about the baseball season and to experience all that's going on. My kids are, you know, it's hard to drag them away after even hours and hours of it. Plus great food. You'll get to try out all the new stuff that's going to be in the Trop this year and see what Levy's conjured up for us all.
Well, looking forward to it, no doubt about it. And again, it's going to be fun to see everybody. It's like kind of the open house before school starts. We'll get a chance to see a lot of people we haven't seen for several months. And Brian, again, thank you for taking the time to join us here on this Thursday night. And we look forward to seeing you Saturday and many, many times through the month of March and into the 25th anniversary season. Thanks. And keep on keeping on. I know it's been a very busy offseason for you and will continue to be during the regular season as well. But thanks for taking the time to join us.
Great. And I would just say, let us worry about this ballpark. We're going to get it figured out. Your political leaders and your Rays team is on it. Don't sleep on this baseball team. It is so special to come into a season with World Series aspirations and coming off multiple playoff berths in a row and to have Glasnow McClanahan at the top of this rotation. There's just so much to be really excited about. Not a lot of fan bases get to feel this way. So I want to make sure everybody takes that opportunity, feels good about it, come on out and experience great baseball, because it's not a thing you should take for granted.
We're going to be good. I keep telling everybody, we're going to be good, and we're looking forward to it. Brian, thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
And that is Rays team president Brian Auld here on this Rays Countdown to opening day. And don't forget that you don't have to miss a pitch during this 2023 season with the Rays season membership. With either a traditional or flexible plan, you'll have an option that best fits your needs. Visit RaysBaseball.com/season membership. The 2023 season is presented by Bayfront Health. With Dave Wills, I'm Andy Fried. We are counting down to opening day, March 30th. The Rays hosting the Detroit Tigers, and spring training not only is right around the corner, it is in fact here. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Neil Solons. Dave and Neil and I will chat more about the Rays in just a moment on your home of the Rays.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are now joined by Neil Solons, who is part of our broadcast as well. Neil, you'll hear him do the pregame, postgame, and he's going to be doing some play-by-play with us during the 2023 season as well. And Neil, well, Andy and I are, you know, we don't report until whenever we want, but no, I'm just kidding. We'll be there sometime next week, and then obviously for the game on the 25th. But Neil made his way over to Orlando for the first workout today. And Neil, first of all, good to talk with you again. And secondly, anything kind of just, did it feel a little different that it's in Orlando and instead of Port Charlotte? What was your initial take on how things have gone here for the first couple of days?
I think all things considered, pretty smoothly. You know, I do think it's obviously different when you're used to the same thing year after year for, you know, more than a decade. It's going to have a different feel to it, but I thought all things considered, it went fairly smoothly, and you also have a larger camp than normal. I can't remember being at a big league camp where you had 80 players, but it's also a World Baseball Classic season. So there are going to be 12 players and a number of staff who are going to be out at various times. So I think for all those reasons, so far so good, and hopefully it stays that way for the next 6 weeks.
Neil, who are some of the young players that you want to see? We all want to see Meade and Bradley, and those are the two that stand out, and Mason Montgomery and several others. But who are the players, as you're so well-versed in the Rays farm system, that might get a chance to get a look-see here in spring training for a couple of weeks, and maybe in other camps they might not have been?
Well, I definitely think Mason Montgomery's guy and already was minor league pitcher of the year in his first full year in the organization. And then the other guy who jumps off the page is Kyle Manzardo. I mean, here's a guy who also first full year, you're talking 21 draft, and he ascended all the way to the AA level. And people are already starting to talk about how good he can be. And, you know, we don't know where the Rays are going to go long-term at first base. He definitely could be considered an option. And at least he gives you a glimpse or a glance at what he possibly can be.
And Neil, as we do look ahead to this 2023 season, you know, a lot of people, as we talk about it a little bit later on with Rays manager, earlier with Rays manager Kevin Cash, people look back at 2022 with a little sense of disappointment. But I think right now, when you look back at it here the last couple of years, I get the feeling that some of these players feel like they left some chicken on the bone. They had good regular seasons, but they got to the postseason and didn't do what they wanted to do.
I definitely feel from chatting with a lot of core guys, it's a motivated group for sure. And I think for this team to take the steps it needs to going forward, I think they're going to have to carry that over. And probably more than that, they're going to need health. You know, I think you probably touched on it with Kevin, but if Wander and Brandon Lau play 130 plus games, this team can go a long way. If not, it's going to be a whole lot harder.
And it's every year we say health, health, health. And every year this team throws out 65 players, 40 pitchers, and yet somehow, some way, get to the postseason. Well, wish you health and happiness, Neil. We'll see you down in Orlando, or over in Orlando, or up in Orlando sometime probably next week. And then as part of the broadcast throughout the month of last part of February and into March. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Appreciate it.
You got it. And we'll see you at FanFest this weekend.
Well, this has been the first edition of the Rays Countdown to Opening Day show. And the producer of our show is Chris Miller, our associate producer, Becca Carney, our production assistants, Alex Fuse and Parker Welch. Also, thanks to Chris Mathis, back at our studios for putting everything together. And again, we'll be back next weekend when the Rays are in Fort Myers getting ready to take on the Minnesota Twins. Don't forget FanFest coming up this Saturday as well. Now for my broadcast partner, Andy Fried, and for Neil Solons, I'm Dave Wills. Once again, this has been the Rays Countdown to Opening Day show on the Rays Radio Network.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
One ball, two strikes, the pitch. Swing and a line drive down the right field line to the corner. Gone!
If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
That might be Randy Rosarena's biggest hit of the 2022 season.
Opening Day will be here before you know it.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out and the Rays win.
For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.